We return this evening to the book of Ruth, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. And last time in chapter 1, we saw that the story begins with a pretty bleak setting. It was the days of the judges, days when there wasn't much faithfulness in Israel, and maybe it was that unfaithfulness that caused there to be a famine in the land. Well, God told the Israelites that in those times of famine, they should repent and return to Him. But instead, Elimelech and his family went to Moab, a place of traditional rivalry for the Israelites. And it was there in Moab that Elimelech's two sons married Moabite women, another potential sign of trouble. And so within 10 years, Elimelech and both of his sons died, leaving Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. Well, even though it was questionable decisions, even rebellious decisions that led to Naomi's plight, she saw her situation as harsh dealing from the Lord, that He had dealt bitterly with her. And so as she returned to Bethlehem with Ruth, she told her old friends not to call her Naomi, but to call her Mara, not to call her sweet, but to call her bitter. She said the Lord had sent her out full and brought her back empty. Well, we know that Naomi wasn't completely empty because there by her side was that loyal young woman, Ruth, who had committed to Naomi and had committed to the true God. And the first chapter of the book of Ruth does end on a hopeful note, as the Bible tells us that it was the beginning of the barley harvest. Chapter 2 starts on a positive note as well. I invite you to begin reading with me. In chapter 2, the Bible says that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So here's a guy who is a relative of Naomi's departed husband, and he's a man of wealth, or we would say he was maybe not just a man of monetary wealth, that term that's used there can mean, but it also is often used to refer to someone who was of great character, someone of integrity, someone who's noble or virtuous. So we could accurately say that he was a worthy man, and his worth went beyond his net worth financially. He was a man of moral worth, this man Boaz. Well, verse 2 tells us that Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn or stalks of grain after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." So here's Ruth. She's committed to Naomi. She cares for her mother-in-law, and she wants to help provide. She isn't going to sit idly in the house. She volunteers, she shows some initiative, and respectfully asks Naomi for her blessing to go out and work as a gleaner. There were laws in the Mosaic law to make provision for people like Naomi and Ruth, special laws that God had given because of His special care for the poor, for widows, for orphans, and for foreigners. And so God built into the Mosaic law provisions for these people, and one of those was gleaning. You're familiar probably with that tradition that those who were in a position of need could glean in fields by walking behind the harvesters and picking up whatever the harvesters missed or dropped. And harvesters also were supposed to leave the corners of their fields unharvested so that gleaners could come, so they wouldn't starve, so that they could have provision. Well, this definitely applies to Ruth. Notice in verse 2 that she's introduced as Ruth the Moabitess. We already know she's a Moabitess. It's clear that she came from Moab. That's stressed in chapter 1. But the author mentions her nationality again here, maybe to highlight the fact that here's someone who's a foreigner. She is a widow. She is impoverished. And so these gleaning laws should apply perfectly to her. However, remember that it is the time of the judges, that not everyone out there is honoring that Mosaic law, that not everyone is staying true to the code that God had called them to live morally, to watch out for the poor. It's kind of a free-for-all, every man for himself, so there's no telling what fortune might befall Ruth as she leaves to go out and glean. But Naomi does give her blessing. Ruth expresses a hope that she might find favor in someone's eyes. And so imagine Ruth. Here she is. She leaves the house. I don't know, this may be just her first full day in Bethlehem, but at any rate, she's very new to the town of Bethlehem. She leaves the town where all the houses are and goes out into the rural areas where all the fields are. There aren't signs marking what belongs to who or barns or farmhouses. No, the people just left the town and went into the fields, and she picks one, apparently at random. The Bible tells us in verse 3 that she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. Ruth picks a field at random and happens to find the field of this man Boaz, to whom we were introduced in verse 1. The phraseology there in verse 3 says, her hap was to light upon. We would say in modern terms, she happened to find. In fact, it's two different forms of the same word there in verse 3. We could say, if we were going to render it literally, her chance was to chance upon this particular field. Or again, in modern terms, she just so happened to find the part of the field that belonged to this worthy man, Boaz. The writer is giving us some irony here as he says that she happened to find it, to tip his hand, to show us a little bit of the fact that God is at work behind the scenes on behalf of Ruth and Naomi. Verse 4 says, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. So he's coming out of the town and into the fields, and he said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Apparently, Boaz was a man who cultivated a culture among his employees of reverence, of honor to the Lord. He was a devout man, we can tell by the first speech to come out of his mouth. Then Boaz, verse 5, said unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? As Ruth apparently caught the eye of Boaz from a distance, and the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Notice again how her nationality is highlighted. The servant says, it's the Moabitish woman that came out of Moab. And she said, the foreman now is repeating Ruth's words to Boaz, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. See, Ruth went about this the right way. She was very respectful. She asked permission. She knew that even though the law said that she was allowed to glean, that she still needed to seek the blessing of whoever the field belonged to. And so she asked, she got permission. Second half of verse 7 says, so she came and hath continued, even from the morning, even until now, that she tarried a little in the house. That's probably what happened. She worked from early morning and took just a little break under the shelter and was back in the field working again. And so the foreman reports this to Boaz. Then Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. So Ruth didn't know what was going to befall her as she picked a field. And as the owner approaches, maybe she notices and begins to grow nervous about what he might say. But Boaz shows extraordinary kindness to Ruth. He seeks her well-being. He tells her to he didn't try to get rid of her. Maybe for a landowner, when a gleaner came, your temptation would be to hope that they would stay and then leave and go off to someone else's field. But instead, Boaz instructs Ruth to continue to glean in his field and invites her to come back and promises her protection. Ruth was probably nervous that just as there were these laws to protect the vulnerable and the poor, it was also opportunity during this lawless time for people in power to prey on the poor. That is, as a widow, as a poor woman, as a foreigner, she was very vulnerable, and if she found herself in a field that belonged to a man with wicked intentions, or just working alongside harvesters who had wicked intentions, that she was very at risk. And so Boaz moves immediately to address that and to help her to feel safe. He says he's commanded the young men not to touch her. One commentator said this is the first record of an anti-sexual harassment policy in the workplace recorded in Scripture. As Boaz moves to see to the well-being, the protection, and the provision of this young foreign woman. Now, as a foreigner, her status was very low. And he offers to let her drink from the water that the young men had drawn. And that might seem a small thing to us, just to offer someone a drink of water. But remember that working as a gleaner is hard work, that you're on your feet all day, that you're stooping down into the ground to pick things up and carrying things as you gather under the hot sun. And you couldn't just go to a drinking fountain. You couldn't just head for the water cooler or the Coke machine or the faucet or the refrigerator to get a drink when you got thirsty. But no, probably the case was that harvesters would get up early in the morning, leave the town, and go out into the fields, and on their way they would stop at the well, maybe in the city gate of Bethlehem, to draw water to carry with them in pitchers so that they would have something to drink when they got thirsty in the field. Well, foreigners, again at the bottom of the social ladder, would typically have to draw water for the locals. In other words, if an outsider wanted to come, a foreigner wanted to come and use the city well, then they could just go to the trouble of drawing water for the local residents as well. Also, it was customary that women would draw water for the men. Apparently, men have been depending on women for survival for many centuries here. But this reverses those trends as Boaz gives permission for this foreign woman to drink from the water drawn by his, assumingly local resident, men. It's an extraordinary act of kindness. See, Ruth went out just hopeful that someone would honor the Mosaic law. But Boaz went far beyond that. Not only did he honor the Mosaic law, he went far beyond that by giving to and protecting Ruth in ways beyond what she could even have expected. Look at her reaction in verse 10. Ruth fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground. And she said to him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" See, Ruth was very conscious of her status as a foreigner and very gracious and humble and grateful as she reacts to Boaz's kindness. And Boaz answered, verse 11, and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband." Boaz doesn't reveal that he's a relative. He just says, "Ruth, I've heard about what you've done for your mother-in-law and how thou hast left thy father and mother and the land of thy nativity and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." Boaz had heard about Ruth. She probably hadn't been there a long time. Maybe she was still brand new to the city, but maybe she's the talk of the town. And you can imagine why. As Naomi comes back from Moab, she'd been gone for 10 years. And remember that as she makes her return, the townspeople gather and they say, "Is this Naomi?" And they remember her. And Naomi says, "Yes, I went out full. The Lord brought me back empty." They remember that she'd left with a husband and two sons. And it was probably news as she came back. It was probably news. They say, "Wow, Elimelech has died. We didn't know this. And Mahlon and Chilion have died. And we didn't know this. And here's Naomi. And who's this with her?" And probably people went home and talked about this young Moabite lady that had come back with Naomi. Maybe they asked, "Why did she bring a Moabite back? Why would a Moabite want to even come back? Is this widow, doesn't she realize she could have had better fortune back home with her parents? Why would she go with her in-laws? Why go to a land that she doesn't know? Does a Moab really belong here in Bethlehem among us?" But still, she must be a woman of character to attach herself to Naomi, to be so loyal, and to stick with her even in a difficult time and in a land that she doesn't know. And as people talked, word reached the ears of Boaz, and he knew that Naomi was his relative. And so he was very appreciative of the fact that this young foreign woman would attach herself to Naomi. He considered it an act of kindness, and so he in turn showed kindness to Ruth. He asked for the Lord's blessing on her in verse 12. He said, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Boaz recognized that Ruth's loyalty to Naomi was an act of trust on Naomi's God, that Ruth was now a follower of God and relying not on the gods of Moab, but relying on the God of Israel to provide for her and to shelter her under his wings. That's exactly what Ruth was doing. She was trusting in God for provision, and Boaz saw an opportunity to play a part in God's providing. And so he wishes this good upon Ruth. Verse 13, "Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids." Ruth again is humble and believes she doesn't deserve this kindness, and says she's his handmaid, but not even like one of his handmaids. She's not even as good as one of his female servants in her own eyes, and so she's appreciative. Some time passes. She goes back to work, apparently, and works for a while. And then verse 14, then Boaz said unto her at mealtime, "Come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers and reached her parched grain, corn, in this case, maybe some of the barley. And she did eat and was sufficed and left. Apparently Ruth didn't pack a lunch. Maybe they didn't have any food, any lunch to pack. And Boaz is sensitive to that and invites her to eat with his hired harvesters. Ruth had appropriately distanced herself and maybe just kept working or just rested and resigned to the fact that she wouldn't have anything to eat. And Boaz graciously invites her to eat with his harvesters. As she sits beside the reapers and eats, the Bible tells us that she was sufficed, or we would use the word she was full. She ate until she was satisfied and had left. She had leftovers. She had more than she needed. And remember, the theme of the book that we're looking at is that God fills. And here's Ruth, who left the house empty and is now full. Verse 15, when she had risen up to glean, now she went back to work, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not." Maybe he's saying that she doesn't even have to glean behind the harvesters, that she can harvest right up there with them, maybe. "And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." He said, leave some bundles of grain, not just little tidbits of leftover behind, but actually big bundles of grain behind, so that Ruth can have a very productive intake here on her first day of gleaning. More kindness from Boaz. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until even. Ruth worked hard. She worked all day from sun up to sun down. And then, even once the sun was down, she beat out that which she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. That might not mean much to us, but to compare it to our terms of measurement, maybe about 5.5 gallons of barley. If you have a 5-gallon bucket in your garage, you can imagine how much Ruth has now to carry home with her, enough for her and Naomi to live on for several days, more than you would ever expect to collect in one day of gleaning. And so she took it up, verse 18, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. In other words, Ruth had more than she needed, and she was full, and she shared what she had with Naomi. Maybe she brought some of that lunch back with her along with all of that grain. Naomi was full and overflowed and provided for, Ruth was full and provided for Naomi. And when her mother-in-law verse 19, said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought or worked today is Boaz." Now Ruth is going to learn about this man Boaz, who he is for the first time. Verse 20, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, and one of our next kinsmen." He was kind to the living and to the dead. See, she understood that Boaz did this to be kind to Ruth, but beyond that, to be kind to Naomi, but even beyond that, to show kindness to his deceased relative, Elimelech, something that was very important in that culture. Again, remember that Naomi saw herself as empty because there was very little prospect of the family line continuing once her husband and both sons were dead and she was childless. And so Boaz's act is an act of kindness to that departed Elimelech. Verse 21, Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So it's a harvest period of maybe about 6 weeks, and it's the season we're in right now, from about late April to early June, that Ruth continues to work, and the Bible is careful to tell us that she stays with her mother-in-law, that she doesn't take her good fortune and kind of strike it out on her own, but she stays with Naomi. She continues to loyally cling to Naomi and be a source of provision for her. Naomi says to keep working in that field. She doesn't know what might happen to her if she went out in some other field. And Ruth complies with this. And she respects her mother-in-law who probably was worried about what might happen to her that morning when she left, and was worried what might happen to her if she went into some other field of a stranger, and so encouraged her to stay there with Boaz, where she might experience some protection. Well, a lot happening there in chapter 2 for us to digest and think about some moral lessons from. And one of those that we can see is that there's someone for just about each of us to identify with there in chapter 2 as we see God at work. God is filling. God is doing good for his people. And some of us will relate maybe to the position of Ruth. Maybe those of us who are students, children, teens, employees, those who are poor, you can learn some things from Ruth. You can learn from her in the way that she took initiative. She volunteered to go to work. She didn't sit around waiting for a handout. She didn't sit around waiting for a scholarship or waiting for a good job offer. She just went out there and got to work. She sought the blessing of her parent, her mother-in-law, and she showed initiative. She wasn't too proud to work in a lowly area. She wasn't too proud to work for minimum wage. In fact, she was humble enough to work for no wage except whatever scrap she could scrounge, essentially as a scavenger. She was very humble in that workplace, and she asked permission, and she showed gratitude. She wasn't too proud to accept help. She worked hard from dawn to dusk, and she shared what she had. She was generous and provided for those with her, and she was very respectful to those with whom and for whom she was working. Some lessons to learn there from the example of Ruth. Some of you can identify with her. Maybe some of you can identify more with Boaz. You're a little bit more settled in life, relatively more comfortable, even wealthy. Employers and parents, we can learn from Boaz and see that our wealth isn't just for us, that we ought to have our eyes open to the needs of those around us. See, remember, Boaz was a farmer who had just weathered 10 years of famine. This was the first good crop in a decade. Wouldn't the temptation be to bulk up, to store some of that, to try to recuperate from recent loss? But that's not how Boaz looked at it. He was generous. He had an eye open for the needy, for the defenseless, for those without a provider, the widow, the foreigner, the poor. And so he took Ruth's need as his own. He showed kindness to her. He showed kindness to a relative, a widowed shut-in that was Naomi. And so from Boaz's example, we see that it's so important to see beyond our own well-being and look to the needy, a theme that permeates Scripture. Maybe some of you relate better to Naomi's case. Maybe you're in those years where you're just kind of home alone, and your husband or your child or your parent goes off to work. They're an essential employee, and you just have to stay home and wonder what's going to happen and wait and see and worry. And maybe you are battling fear, wondering how God is going to provide. And in her case, what's interesting is that as she sat there feeling empty, feeling bitter and maybe anxious about what was going to happen, she didn't know it, but God had set a plan in motion and was working even then to fill her empty heart. See, God fills. God is good. And as God fills us, it's important that we realize that we are not filled for our own pleasure, for our own wealth, for our own comfort, but as God seeks to fill and as God works to fill, He desires not only to fill our empty hearts, but to fill others through our abundance. See, where did the abundance start with in this story? It starts with God. Back in chapter 1 in verse 6, we read that the Lord had again visited His people with food. That is, God is full of provision, and in His goodness, even though it was the time of the judges, even though most Israelites were living in an unfaithful way, even though Naomi and her family hadn't made the best decisions, that God was overflowing from His abundance to fill His people again with food. Well, who was the first? What group of people would be the first to benefit from a bumper crop? It would be the landowners, the farmers. And so Boaz is filled from the overflowing abundance that God is now pouring out on His people. But Boaz didn't just seek to be filled. He instead overflowed in his fullness to fill someone else whom he saw was empty. Maybe you are getting a stimulus check. You've got your stimulus check, or it's coming in the mail. Well, for some of us, maybe we're desperate for that because we really need it to get by. But for others of us, maybe your income and expenses have stayed relatively stable, and so this is just a surplus for you. Well, have you already spent that money in your mind? Do you have ideas to do some extravagant splurge or something like that? Couldn't it be that God is overflowing you to help meet the needs of someone else? That's how Boaz sees it, and of his excess, he seeks to fill another who is empty. Again, Ruth, she could have just collected all that and hoarded that, and most of us tend naturally to be misers, but instead she overflowed and shared with Naomi, and God was filling Naomi's empty heart, and He was using the willing, sacrificial, kind, and loyal acts of others to do it. So God fills, but He doesn't just fill so that we can be full. He fills so that He can use us in filling others. Pass on from your surplus. Pass on when He gives you more than you need. Donate to the Deacon's Fund. Donate to our food pantry. That's a very close equivalent to the kindness we see Boaz showing to someone who was in need. Donate, give, share, and realize that you're not maybe as empty as you think yourself to be. Naomi said, "The Lord brought me back empty." She wasn't as empty as she thought she was because she had loyal Ruth, and God was using the fullness of His bounty to fill Boaz so that he could overflow into Ruth, so that she could be filled with bounty and overflow into Naomi, so that Naomi's empty heart could be filled. And He wasn't done yet. It wasn't to end there. God is still at work. God is still filling. He wants to use you to be part of that process. Open your heart. Look for the ways he has already filled you and seek to be a filling resource for the others who are needy in your life.